You know, this is the church I want us to be. I want us to be a church that can go from hymn to hip-hop and love it all. I want us to be people that know how to be reverent and silent and know how to praise the Lord and rejoice over the good things He's done. And I'm thankful for all the churches in our area. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ. And, you know, most often churches kind of represent a certain facet of the kingdom of God. But, you know, my prayer is that we as a church become a kind of sign and a wonder of all of it, what Pentecost really is. That together we can have the unity of Jesus. And the rest of the world says, well, how do all those people get along? Why are they all friends? Why do they all believe? Why do they all sacrifice together? So many unsung, so many not reinforced in their particular way. But together we come and they give God Jesus, because the world around us does not know how to live together in unity and peace. It doesn't know what it is to find harmony because of not just what I can get, but what Jesus gives me and then I can give. And that's the church I want us to be. That's the church we're becoming. And, you know, it brings me great joy to see hands lifted up in hymns just as much as they're lifted up in praise songs. And I love a response in the middle of a hip-hop song, and I love a response in the middle of a classic worship that just declares God is holy. Because He deserves all of that. And He's worthy of that, and we can't possibly express in enough different ways the glory of God. It can't be done. If the angels in heaven and the seraphim that fly around Him constantly find a new moment every time they open their eyes and gaze on the throne room of heaven to say, holy, holy, holy. If every moment they have a new revelation of His greatness and of His goodness, then how much more should we be able to say, Lord, we want to love You with all the ways there are to say You are great. You know, when you hear that song, holy, 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 we often, and rightfully so, think of the very sacred, quiet moments. But, you know, to be holy is to do what is on most of your t-shirts today, to make Jesus the center of everyday life. A lot of times, we don't combine the idea of holiness and everyday life. Some people see that and say, well, that's not very spiritual, Pastor Shaw, making Jesus the center of everyday life. I mean, you know, couldn't we impact the world for Christ? Or couldn't we make life changers? Or, you know, for the glory? And all of that is saying, look, we do all those things. We impact the world. We bring God glory. We change others and are changed when we make Christ the center. That's what being holy is all about. Because I want to be as holy on the basketball court playing with Kenny, although he's always shooting over me and I don't appreciate it, but I want to be as holy there as I am in a worship service. And it may not look the same in those moments, but I want my heart to be the same. Our church, Cornerstone Assembly of God, is based on that scripture in Ephesians 2:21, and it says this: in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's in your bulletin on the inside flap there under Everyday Cornerstone. And it says this: in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God's Spirit lives. And here's a really key part of how this all works: by His Spirit. We've spent a long time talking about making Jesus the center of everyday life. And this year, we're going to use our theme, our school year slogan is going to be Everyday Cornerstone. It's just a real short way to say it, Everyday Cornerstone. Because what we want to say is every day of my life, I want to treat Him as holy. Every day of my life, I want to know His help and His grace in my life. We want to every day, not just once a week, treat Him as holy. And you know, we live in a country, And we live in a media that everything's disjointed from each other. You know, the sitcom this week with this life-changing moment where your hero gets shot 5 times in the head but miraculously somehow survives. Next week, he doesn't have a blemish on him. Because that's kind of life. It's like nothing connects to each other. And we know that in our head, but we start living like that in our spirits. And we kind of have our sitcom moment. We get our 22, 44, 66 minutes with God, and we have that moment with God, and then we wait to next week to have that story again in our lives. And what God wants to do is He wants us to go from a weekly experience to an everyday lifestyle. And that's where the word everyday cornerstone is going to be our theme. Everyday cornerstone. You'll see on the front of your bulletin that we want you to remember 3 things when you hear the word everyday cornerstone. The first is we want you to think of your Savior. He should be the center of your everyday focus. I cannot promise you that every day of your life is going to be balanced. Anybody who has kids said? Not going to happen. But what I can tell you is every day can be centered on Jesus. It may not be balanced. It may be the craziest day you've ever had. It may be a day where people gave you so much attitude and pressed every one of your buttons, and yet you can have a day where Jesus is the center. Someday Jesus is the center of a beautiful day where it's just gorgeous like yesterday, and you're out and you've actually got a little time to yourself, and then the center of your focus is thankfulness and rest. You're going to have a day like me yesterday that went from coaching a soccer game to doing a wedding to running over to be with some friends in need to going home and helping my daughter with an English essay. You can have one of those days, and Jesus still can be the center of that day. And so when you hear everyday cornerstone, we want you to think, my focus today is Jesus. Number 2, your church should be part of your everyday encouragement. Now, some people are like, whoa, 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 Pastor Sean, I don't know about that. You know, I'm pretty busy. I don't have time to be at church all these other times. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it should be part of your encouragement, part of your strength. Some days it should be because one of your friends here at the church emailed you a scripture that meant a lot to them. Sometimes it should be because you jumped on the Cornerstone app. And starting next Monday, we're going to start reading the book of Acts together. You've got 1 more week to finish whatever reading plan you're on right now. Double, triple up. Starting next Monday, we're all going to read the book of Acts together. And when you go on that mobile app, we'll have a commentary on what you just read. That'll be about our church's vision and about each of us living for Christ. So every day, you can be encouraged by our church family. You may not see them that day. You may not talk voice to voice, but you can be encouraged. Because what we want to do is we want to break down that, well, church is something I do once a week. It's not really part of my life. I want you to be, and I want you to have an experience of church that you don't say, well, you know what, life's really messed up right now, so I'll be back after I fix my life. No, no, no. Everyday cornerstone means, no, those are the people who walk with you in the middle of what you got to fix. That's everyday cornerstone. We've seen that as we've been with the Martin family, Angie, and as we celebrated Terry's homegoing. And, you know, we just had our home group just the last night. We're sitting and we're talking about life, and we're talking about finances and Social Security forms, and we're talking about movies, and we're laughing at a Tim Hawkins video. We're just sharing life. And you'll see on the inside of your bulletin, on the inside flap, life group, Sundays at 10 a.m., everyday fellowship begins here. We're not saying it ends there. We're saying you've got to have a place to begin. And I want to encourage you to look through those lists of life groups and make a decision starting next Sunday. You know, I'm going to give one of those a chance. I'm going to try. Because in that place, in the moment when I need grace, I'll have a place to go for it. I can't tell you how many people kind of casually come on Sunday. They have a big issue in their life, and then they complain that nobody from the church even noticed. It's like, well, now, agreed. I mean, you shouldn't have to perform to get attention. I totally agree with that. But there is a basic of relationship that everybody needs to respond. If they're going to respond to you, they've got to kind of know you. And to know you, you've got to make an effort to be known. And so I want to encourage you, starting this next Sunday, make a new commitment. You're going to have a chance to make that commitment today. And then the last thing about everyday cornerstone, looking at that front. Everyday cornerstone, when you hear that, I want you to think of your helper, the Holy Spirit, should fill your everyday life. You and I cannot make Jesus the center of every day except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means every day, not in super spiritual ways that you think, well, I'm not like that. No, not in those ways at all. But actually in a much more practical, much more real, down-to-earth way, the Holy Spirit is sent that He might help you and cause you to make Jesus the center of your day. Because you cannot do it on your own. Nobody in here is good enough. You're not gooder or the goodest person in here. You need the Holy Spirit. And every day we have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, before I go on and talk a little bit, just a moment, and it's not going to be long this morning, but before I do that, I want to bring somebody up who I really appreciate lives in everyday faith in the middle of an everyday world. And he is going to be our keynote speaker tonight at Praying for Our Schools. And I'd like to just welcome for a moment to the stage Dr. Marcus Newsom, our superintendent of public schools. Dr. Newsom, thank you for being here with us. And, Dr. Newsom is a really wonderful, godly man. And he serves the community, some who believe and some who don't believe, some who have all sorts of definitions of the separation of church and state. And every day, Dr. Newsom lives his faith and continues to be a man of prayer. It's my privilege to get to talk to him often and just encourage him and pray for him. And a while ago, we talked about tonight. The Lord just kind of gave me a heart. When we even do our faith breakfasts, there are Muslims there and Hindus there and things like that. And Dr. Newsom is responsible for caring for all of them. And so I came and I said, Dr. Newsom, I would really like to have a moment where the churches of the area, because I believe the local church is the leader in any community. We have the light of Christ, we have the truth of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I asked Dr. Newsom if he would be agreeable to me, through our Chester clergy, calling our community together to pray for our public schools in the beginning of the year. And what I told the Village News, and some of you saw the article, well, I said, our churches and our community, they know how to gather together for a public school when a tragedy has happened, but why do we need to wait for a tragedy to happen to come together and pray for this future and the blessing of our students? And through Kerry Corner, our school board member, who's another faithful Christian, they agreed and have allowed us to spread the word. And they've agreed to come. They've invited all the principals of our area to come and many of the teachers. And we're praying that this place is going to be filled tonight as a demonstration that the church of Jesus, the true body of Christ, is a servant to the schools and to the community. And I wanted to just take this moment. I invited Dr. Newsom here because I said, Dr. Newsom, we're going to be spiritually warming up the auditorium for tonight. We're warming it up. It's going to be strong and ready to go. Come Sunday night at 6 p.m. And a lot of these people are going to be here. But Dr. Newsom, we want to say one thank you. Leadership is a very difficult thing. And I was just telling someone the other day, there's no shortage of people who like to proofread. But there's not many people who like to write. And as leaders, we live in front of people who proofread our writing all the time. And it's easy to proofread. It's another thing to get in the middle of it and lead. And I just want to say thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your example. And we want you to know, along with many other churches that you know of, that we pray for you and we're behind you. And we appreciate your leadership in our community. Can we say thank you one more time to him?
Well, all I can say is hallelujah to that. Thank you, Pastor Sean. I have been overwhelmed today by this service. I have been blessed beyond measure. And I just know what David meant when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, there might be some people here this evening will say, well, this isn't a house of the Lord. This is a school auditorium. But we know wherever there are two or three gathered together in his name,
that's right,
there he is in the midst. And I just thank God that this morning you have transformed this auditorium into a house of worship and honor to God. And I would also like to add that you just said we want to leave the power of the Holy Spirit in here tonight. But my prayer is that the power of God will rest and abide in this place throughout the entire year. And everyone who walks through this door,
amen,
every child who walks through this door would experience,
amen,
the presence of God.
Amen.
And as I walk off, I'd just like to say, y'all, there was a special moment for me as I think about our children, because we know that God has created all 58,000 of them with a purpose. And many of them are lost because they don't know that purpose. And we pray that you would help them through your prayers. And I saw this little cherubim right here dancing before the Lord this morning.
Trinity.
Trinity.
Yeah, that's your name.
And I got tears in my eyes because I saw my daughter dancing when she was that age before the Lord. Now she's all grown up and she's a music minister. But wouldn't our schools be healed if every child knew the Lord like this? God bless you and thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. I should have taken it from stage. Let's take a moment to bless Dr. Newsom in prayer, if you would just extend a hand of blessing to him right now. Lord, we thank you for our brother in Christ, and we thank you for his willingness to sacrifice and be in the midst of many, many tumultuous topics. Lord, many, many different economic classes, backgrounds, religious beliefs. Lord, we thank you that he is a man of God who will receive your wisdom and guidance to bless the community. And Lord, we right now, we bless him in Jesus' name. And we pray that he would be strengthened. And Lord, his leadership would have favor. And Lord, he would be able to not use the typical tools of, Lord, public leadership that are negative and divisive. But he would have the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring unity and willing sacrifice of all the parts of our community, that, Lord, what is truly your heart for the, Lord, over 50,000 public school students, Lord, and their families, that they would know your love, compassion, they would have your strength. We bless him now in the name of Jesus, and all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Newsom, for being with us. I hope many who come, even if maybe your kids are out of school now, what a statement it would be tonight if you would come and give an hour of your time. I heard one person say, Dr. Dick Foth, he's been at church, he said, you know, all politics are local. And he said, look, if you're going to complain about your country but not step up in your county, you don't have any right to say anything. And we got no shortage of people who want to complain about what they don't like in the public sector. But what we really have a shortage of are people who are willing to serve. And I want to encourage you tonight, as the Lord gives you the grace with your family and your schedule, I want to encourage you to represent the body of Christ well tonight and come and be part of a moment. As principals stand here tonight, some who don't know the Lord, who have agreed to receive prayer tonight, I hope they'll see a packed auditorium and saying, maybe there's something in the body of Christ that I've overlooked. Most people only hear the negative about church and Christian and politics. And maybe tonight they can see something humble and powerful and gracious. And I hope you'll be with us on that. You know, sometimes because we live in this suburb community that's turning more and more metro as we speak. We tend to think, well, you know, yeah, we've got a lot of churches, and overall we're going to be fine. I was in Gedetesfa in Ethiopia, and I was at the new church building that our sister church with Pastor Missiger had built. And he walked me around, and we did a prayer walk, but you got to be very careful walking in a place that is only 2.5% Christian. And so we're walking around, and he points to the big lot next to the church they just built. And he says, we're praying that God will speak to that Muslim owner and give us that plot of land because we believe we could build a Christian school in the middle of this place that has no church. And, well, they have some Christians now thanks to what's happened, but almost no Christians. And he said, but you know what? We've talked to the owner. And unfortunately, the owner said he's getting pressure from the Muslim community and the mosque leaders because the strategy of the Muslim faith is if a church does get permission to build, then what they automatically do is they rally all their resources and they buy all the land around it and build mosque and different Muslim things next to it. So this way, that church automatically becomes isolated and has attention. And even people who start to want to know Jesus need to walk by the mosque and see all of their friends, and people are dissuaded from coming to church. And my heart was gripped at that kind of darkness and that kind of manipulation. So we entered into the church and we said, well, we're going to pray about this. Doug had a prophetic word about that land and what God would do in that place. And we begin to pray. And as we begin to pray, the sound of prayer came over the mosque speaker, and you could hear it like you could hear me in this building. And in the middle of our prayers in the church comes the Muslim prayer and the asking and the call for all to pray. And I begin to pray this. I said, oh God, Lord, how does this beautiful group of people, our sister church, in the middle of a Muslim community, a Muslim government, and a Muslim culture, how are they going to survive unless the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the least of these and causes them to be a witness that can withstand the pressure and the persecution and all of the subtle social resistance and rejection that they're going to have? And I begin to pray fervently. And I say, God, there needs to be an outpour. This church needs to live in the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, or there's no way it will survive the crushing of the enemy around it. And I prayed fervently for it. And in the midst of my prayer, I tell you, God stopped me and said, Sean, what makes you think your church is any different? Just because you don't have some loudspeaker calling for prayer at the mosque, just because you don't have a government that doesn't all the way reject what God stands for, what makes you think, Sean, your church can survive and do nothing but be crushed if it does not have the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because, Sean, you are grasshoppers compared to the strongholds of sin. You are a grasshopper compared to the homosexual agenda and the way that the world presses in on that. You are a minority and in the least of all positions when it comes to believing about marriage covenant and about a place where sex is saved for the gift of marriage. Materialism, suburbanism, all those things. What makes you think your church can do anything less but be absolutely 100% dependent every day on the gift of my Holy Spirit to survive? What makes you think, parent, that you are going to be enough to raise your kid? What makes you think, co-worker, that by your own determination and will, you will stand as the witness you're going to be? What makes you think, man, that with all the inundation of pornography in media and soft pornography on the airwaves, that you are going to maintain a heart that is pure and is free from destroying the very marriage and family that you love? What makes you think that some medication, and we have nothing wrong with proper prescription of what people need, but what makes you think that by itself, without the gift of the Holy Spirit, depression's going to be overcome, racial divide's going to be overcome, arguments in the public sphere are going to be owned? We need a fresh and a deeper work of the Holy Spirit in us. And marriage, if you're struggling and you've come to me and you said, well, we have tried everything, I would tell you this day that the Holy Spirit wants to give you a power to overcome what you for years have not been able to overcome. If you've walked in addiction and secret sin, or you've walked in a mediocre depression about life, and you go through cycles, I'm okay, but pretty soon it's coming back. Now I'm not okay and I isolate. I'm okay now. If you walk in those things, I would call out to you by the Spirit that you need a fresh and a deeper experience of the Holy Spirit in your life. Timothy will say, there are people, Paul will say to Timothy, there are people that have a form of godliness, but they lack the power thereof. You and I have become people who are more focused on being pretty than powerful. And we live in churches that focus more on being pretty than powerful. And that has got to change. You know what? There's a little bit of an irony when you really give your life to Jesus Christ and invite the Holy Spirit in. Life, in some ways, gets simple and very ordered. And in another way, you get lots more messy. Because some of what looks neat and clean in your life is your own will keeping ravaging dogs in a box. And there needs to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And when you stop using your own willpower, but start allowing God to truly come into those places, life actually gets a little bit more messy. And if your highest concern as a Christian is to keep pretty, and believe me, you're all very pretty, in the nice sense of the word. If your goal is to have a pretty church and a pretty marriage and a pretty career and pretty kids, I'm telling you what, you're going to get eaten up. Because pretty does not keep the enemy from devouring. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'll talk about Jesus who said, you know what? There was this man who was possessed by a demon. And when the demon was cast out of him, he left wandering. The demon left wandering to and fro. And he decided to go back to the life he had been cast out from. And what does the scripture say? Most of you know this story, right? The demon came and found that the house was what? Really pretty. It was neat and clean. It had a fresh set of furniture in it. It looked great. But what was the problem with it? No one was living in it. And look, the goal of the gospel is not just so you say no to sin and don't have sin inside. The goal of the gospel is you trade sin for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you. I know we come from a lot of traditions. And I don't think there's anybody in this room that's interested in flaky, abusive, emotionalism, or excess. Nobody in this room is interested in that. But you and I have to get past our pretty value, our priority that all look pretty. And we've got to get to a place that says we need power. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I want to encourage you. There's a little outline there under Everyday Cornerstone. There's those four blanks. If you have a pen, I want you to fill these out. Because this is where we're going this fall. If we're going to have an Everyday Cornerstone, then what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to talk about every day in the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, next week, It's either next week or the week after. I've got like a zillion things I want to share with you. We're going to talk about a Pentecostal hermeneutic of the Bible. So what I'm going to do, some of you are like, hermeneutic? What is that? You know what? Hermeneutic means, how do I interpret the Bible? Because all of us in this room want one thing. We want to read the Bible the way the original author meant it to be read. So I want to give you a hermeneutic. I want to give you a context, an understanding that says, look, you can embrace the work of the Holy Spirit because this is the basic. You can't get any more accurate about what the writers of the New Testament meant. And I'm going to go over the five principles to give you a Pentecostal hermeneutic so that when we get to those problematic scriptures and you're like, well, what does it mean, this or that? Look at the hermeneutic and then understand the piece. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to talk about the roles of the Holy Spirit. They bring power. They bring presence. They bring purity. They bring a passion. And you know what? They bring proof. Proof, which a lot of us are lacking in our lives. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be a sojourner? What does it mean to be a stranger and an alien to this world? Some of us think it means be as weird as possible. Okay? That's not what it means. It means, and it's key to your relationship with the Holy Spirit, that you are bigger than the world you live in. You are bigger than the job you are at. You are bigger than the marriage you are in. And because your life is not confined to one box, there is a gift of the Holy Spirit that's bigger than every box you've got that wants to fill you. But if you just want to live to be the next dance mom on cable TV, well, you're probably not going to experience much of the Holy Spirit in your life if that's your goal. We're going to talk about it. The series is going to be amazing. But I want to encourage you that it starts with us. It starts now. To give you a little bit of a preview of our sermon series, this will go online tomorrow. I have not seen this yet, so I'm interested in what I'm about to see. And here's a little preview of the sermon series.
Every day, this world pulls our spirit and our faith down. All we have to do is look around us. Sex outside of marriage is normal. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry that reaches kids in elementary school. Profanity at your workplace or your school is a given. States legalize gay marriage, our nation is fine with legalized abortion, and the world lives in wars and rumors of wars. There's a gravity to this world that always pulls us down, that causes us to live in fear, to live in selfishness, in stress, and in worry. Even as we live in it, we hear these words of an everyday cornerstone, someone in Christ that we can have hope, peace, and joy all of the time. And yet when we feel the gravity and the weight of sin in, on, and around us, to live for Christ seems and feels impossible. It's kind of like imagining that I could fly. There's this gravity, and as much as I would like to and as much as I could hear about it, I don't have the power in and of myself to overcome the power of gravity and fly in this world. Every day, I live in the reality that the gravity of sin is greater than my power to defy it. I can't fly, sin wins. And yet, when I look at the life of Christ, and I begin to understand what the book of Acts is all about, I see something different. In Acts 1:4, Jesus says that I will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In 1:8, he says that this baptism will give me a power to defy the gravity of sin. Jesus doesn't say that gravity is going to go away. He doesn't say that I by myself can fly, but he says in the Holy Spirit there is a power that I can live in every day to defy the gravity of sin and live for Him as my cornerstone. Jesus says in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can defy gravity.
We don't have to live in the pull of sin. We can be above it. It doesn't mean that those things aren't really there. It just means that we live in a greater power than those things. We can look at the real problems of our life, the real problems of our city. We can understand the things in this world that want to attack and defeat our children. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can defy them and rise above them. We never have to say, well, that's just how I am. We never have to say, that's just how my workplace is or my school will never know Christ. We never have to say that our city will be hopeless. Even places like Dirindawi, Ethiopia, or Shady Hill, right in Virginia, we can believe God to do greater things than the gravity of sin around it.
So this is the fall series at Cornerstone, every day in the power of the Holy Spirit. Learning what it looks like to enter into the Holy Spirit on a daily basis in practical and loving ways, and in that discovering that we have God's power to defy the gravity of sin. We'll look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and relationship to Him, how Jesus has purchased His gift and power in our lives. We'll understand what it looks like on an everyday basis to choose to enter into the Holy Spirit that we can experience victory over sin. We'll be reading in the book of Acts, and you can follow along in our church phone app or on the website, write information at the counter. And through the next 8 weeks, we will choose to enter in every day into the Holy Spirit and His power. I hope you come and enter in with us.
That's going to be on our Facebook page tomorrow, and that might be a great thing to share with some friends. You know, I meet so many marriages that are in difficult parts or workplaces that are difficult, and all they do is they recite to me gravity. Well, this is here, and this is here, and this is here. And it's somehow like they're waiting for me to say, well, here's my magic wand. It's gone. Look at that. Isn't life great now? You know, that's not the message of the gospel. The gospel says all those things are real. Gravity is really there. I'm just stronger than it. And I want to encourage you over these next weeks and to begin to pray with me now. Lord, I'm not going to spend all my time fixating on the gravity. I'm going to start fixating on your power. And in that, I will be able to, in practical ways, address these things. But I will be able to be victorious over it. You'll see in your bulletin one last thing that I want to do with you today. And you'll see here, there is the bottom section you can tear out. I know not all of you have a pen. If you do, I want to encourage you to do this. In a moment, we're going to have our kids come on out here, and they're going to re-emphasize the power to overcome opposition. But I want you to see everyday Cornerstone commitment. It says, one, I'm going to commit to knowing Jesus in a fresh way. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment for how many minutes a day you're going to pray. I want you to just kind of make a new commitment. Say, God, this is what, by your grace, I'm going to do. Nobody's going to call you up and check if you've done it or not. So, you know, take it easy. Although our phone app can actually sense it. So it's great. I'm teasing. I just want to encourage you, because what we're going to do is we're going to gather these together and say, hey, Cornerstone, every day we've got this many minutes of prayer going on through this time. So I want to encourage you to be part of that. Then a fresh experience in fellowship. If there's a particular life group you want to go to, if you're going, you want to make a fresh commitment, I want you to sign up. Just make that commitment today. I want to encourage you that everyday life means you've got to make everyday decisions right now. Not when you get out of the church, but in the church. Wednesday night, the discipleship classes are there. And then a lot of you, it's time for that next step. We've got a lot of visitors over the summer. This Wednesday night, I'm going to be holding a dessert night, and you get just to meet with me, talk through, ask me questions about the church. And then the week after that, we're going to start our membership class for those of you who want to continue. I'd encourage you, take that step. And then lastly, I'm going to commit to knowing the Holy Spirit through reading the book of Acts, and we're going to start that next week. But I'd like us to make some commitments. And we're not going to share any personal information, but we are going to say, hey, church family, This is what the church is committed to in this next 8 weeks. So I pray that you will take your part of being our family seriously with it. And then if you got sign-ups for any of the kids' events or stuff, you can put there. You notice on the other side it says, what are you believing for every day this fall? The power of the Holy Spirit allows us to accomplish more than we can ever ask for or imagine. And this is where I want to just join you in prayer. So as you put your name and your email on that, and if there's something, you know, I'm just believing for an even better marriage. I'm believing that I'll have peace in my family. I'm believing that our family will grow close to God together. I'm believing that, whatever that is, what are you believing for in these next 8 weeks? And I want you to take a moment right now, if you would, to fill those out. And what we're going to do is as the kids come, I'm going to have the ushers get ready. And when the kids finish their piece, we'll take that and dismiss. So if you would, in this moment, would you make some commitments today? The other part of this everyday cornerstone is either a bookmark or an invitation for someone you know. So we're going to invite the kids in, and they are going to give us the last sermon illustration of the day. And we're just so thankful for them. And they're going to give us a little Pharaoh, so get ready. Come on in.
All right.
We're praying for a lot of freedom in Christ in these next 8 weeks. Ushers, if you come forward, I'm going to ask you to take these commitment cards now and to turn them in. As we do that, I'm going to ask Pastor Nidra to come up and pray for us. And then what we'll do is Pastor Nidra will lead us in making sure that we have somewhat of an orderly connection. As you go out, feel free to bless each other. Some of the booths for Project Hope, for Life Group, some of those things are out there. You might want to stop by and see those things. So Pastor Nidra, if you come. I don't know if the team's going to be playing or not. I know we're kind of finishing up. All right, Pastor Nidra is going to pray, and then we're going to receive all this, and we're going to do the dismissal.
If you don't mind, I would like to just give a big round of applause for my volunteers that made all of this happen this morning. Please give them a hand. I could not do this without them. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. All right, boys and girls, we're praying. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you. What a privilege it is to be able to come before your throne today, God. We just thank you, Father, for all that you are doing in our lives and all that you are doing in Cornerstone, Father. We thank you, God, for your presence that is here. We thank you for the rain that you have sent, Father. Mm-hmm. We just pray that, God, that, Lord, as we leave this place today, that, God, that we would be changed, Father. That, God, that your Holy Spirit would just rest on us, God, and it would give us the boldness to go out and tell more people about you, Father. Lord, I just pray over the kids that are here, Father. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit wouldn't stop in the sanctuary, Lord, but it would visit us in kids' church, Father. I pray that, God, that your presence would sweep through that children's ministry and just change our lives, oh God, that we would be everything that you have created us to be, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for what you're going to do in their lives, Father. I thank you that they're going to know you for themselves, God, that you would be their God, not what they hear from me, not what they hear from their parents, but God, that they would know you for themselves, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that, God, that you would give them the boldness to impact their world for you, Father. And we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a great, great fall season for us. Thanks for making this a part. We're just waiting for the buckets to finish and get passed. And please remember tonight at 6 p.m. if you come by about 5:30, start to pray. That would be great. And we're excited for this time together. Pastor Nidra, how are we going to do the dismissal? You want to work on this here for me?
I forgot. I got excited in my prayer. Okay. Let's have our little K kids. If you are a parent of little K, which is 3 to 5, please come to this direction. Can you meet them right there? All right. Let's wait till the little kids go. If you're a parent of the 3 to 5-year-old, you can come this way. If you are a parent of of the kids' church that is 6 to 11, please come this way. Bus riders, can you come right here? Right here in the middle. Bus riders, right here in the middle. If you're kids' church, right here. If you're bus riders, please come right here.
God bless you as you go. Let's keep being a family together. Look forward to great things in the power of the Holy Spirit this fall. God bless you as you go.